You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
Great fight to get it, and Sibanala can't hold it in again at the right point. Quickly taken back the other way. Kochev right down the middle, now to the left circle. Can't get a shot off, tried to center. Centering feed, they score!
Hey, everybody, another edition of the Rain Check Podcast. Jared Shaffern and Josh Schaefer with you once again. This week, we've got Marcus Phillips on to discuss the recent results for the Rain. He had a very interesting weekend, had to play with a forward as his defensive partner. He also played in the World Junior Championships. A current Rain player, Helge Granz, is getting ready for that tournament up in Canada with Team Sweden. And we'll run down a little World Juniors preview for you as well. But Josh, you know, over the weekend, Rain, two home games, very exciting, both of them. We saw Evander Kane on Friday. We had a teddy bear toss Saturday, and 3 out of 4 points for a Rain team that we didn't even know half the defensemen before the weekend started. So probably not bad results there.
Yeah, you know, the game against San Jose with it went at first when the Rain were up 5-0, which is always good for the team. Suddenly turns into a very interesting hockey game in the third period. There were some penalties. There were some power play goals for San Jose, the number two power play in the league at the time of that game. So they had a lot of opportunities. They made the game close. And then Tucson came to town the next day for the annual teddy bear toss game. And the Rain and the Roadrunners have played some very interesting hockey games this season. The Roadrunners continue to be one of those teams that just plays Ontario really tough. They don't really do anything too flashy, but they have a way of grinding out victories, and that's what they did against the Rain this past weekend.
We talk about the highest offensive output for the Rain. That means, you know, they scored a lot of goals, because this team has been one of the best offenses in the league the entire year, and they hit 7 on Friday, and 7 different scorers scored them. And again, you know, the defense, I figured we'd be talking more about the defense, but actually they played well enough that they're kind of not noticed as much. And the forwards came to play and they took over the game.
Yeah, they scored a touchdown and kicked the extra point. But going into the game, I think something that stood out to us was they're shorthanded defensively. There are 3 brand new players, 2 that have logged a combined 100 games in the AHL, 1 that is making his AHL debut, and 1 that is actually a forward playing defensively, right? But at the same time, something that we did talk about during the broadcast was this is also a forward unit that is just stacked. You've got a third line on this team for this past weekend. Gabriel Vilardi, Alex Turcotte, Tyler Madden, that most other places in the AHL would be a team's number one line. I think that's just how deep the Rain were at the forward position this past week and how they've been kind of that way all season. So, the offense was really good. Didn't have a chance to really harp on any defensive shortcomings this past week. And, you know, even though they gave up 4 goals, they were all pretty much every goal that the team gave up to San Jose this past week was sure against a team that was led by an elite NHL player in Evander Kane, who had led the Sharks in goals the last couple of years, but also the number 2 power play unit in the league coming into the weekend, who scored a lot of power play goals simply because the Rain took a bunch of penalties in that game. So there weren't too many defensive flaws in that game, despite giving up a few goals. And then that really just set the tone, kept the team in the game, and the forwards were so good. 7 different goal scorers, scoring 7 goals for Ontario. The scoring was coming from everywhere, obviously, and there were a lot of guys on the score sheet, and it really helped lead the momentum into the rest of that weekend.
I think it's one of those wins that really proves, when you talk about belief in your group, you know, you can be going through whatever, and you, as long as you guys have the core of that group, I felt like they felt, after a win like that on Friday, no matter what happens, we can play with anybody, we can win. No matter who we have on the ice, that's just the identity that's becoming right now for this team. And, you know, you transition to the next day against Tucson, you talked about it. We've talked about it. There's been so many wild things already happening with this series against Tucson. you know, there was no penalties in the first period, which if you told me that, I would say, really? Like, after what happened a month ago, no penalties in the first period? And then second period started and said, oh, yeah. These are the same two teams that we saw last month. And, you know, again, it, the line of TJ Tynan, Martin Furk, and Vladimir Kotyev basically kept the team in that game. And they got a point out of it. And they, again, did some things against a really tough opponent that shows you when the rain are clicking, they're one of the best teams in the league. And it's just how long can they sustain that, and how consistent can they be?
Yeah, and you're obviously not going to win every game in this sport. That's just not how it works. And so far, Tucson has been one of those teams that does that to the rain. I mean, despite how good Ontario can play in a game, Tucson has limited chances. They've been good on the penalty kill. In this game, they actually didn't take too many penalties. There was a lot going back and forth, but they didn't end up giving Ontario too many power plays. Zorain had one power play opportunity and didn't score in the game on Saturday. But similar to what we saw on Friday against San Jose, even in a 5-0 win, whenever San Jose started to come back a little bit, they'd score a couple power play goals in a row, boom, the rain would score. Okay, well, they'd get one more, then the rain would score again. And it was like that every time San Jose started to come back. It was the same thing on Saturday, just in a little bit of a different way against Tucson. And after the game, Chris Height, acting as one of the head coaches for this team at this point in the season, he had talked about the resiliency of the way that the team played and how there was this belief that every time they went down, which was a couple times, they were going to come right back and score. And at the start of the third period, 62 seconds in, Michael Carcone scored for Tucson. 16 seconds later, TJ Tynan tied the game. At the 10-minute mark of the period, Cole Holtz scored, a former Rain defenseman. He scores for Tucson. 40 seconds later, Vladimir Kotyev ties it. So it's just one of those games where it's like Tucson might continue to grind their way down the stretch, get a chance to win the game in overtime like they do eventually. But it seemed like every time they scored, the rain would respond just like that. And that's something that we've seen from the team this season. We saw it in Henderson earlier this year. We saw it Friday, Saturday this past weekend against the Barracuda and the Roadrunners. And I think it's a really positive thing to see from this unit. The further you get into a season when, like I said, you had an 8-game win streak, you're not going to win every game. So even when they're not winning every game at this point, they were 5-5 in their last 10 now. But when you still see that type of tenacity in the team to come back when you're down and to stay positive when you're down, that's the sign of a team that's going to continue to produce later on in the season, especially when you consider how deep they are.
This was the first time we've seen Matthew Vallalta in back-to-back starts. Team hasn't played that many back-to-back games overall, but when they have, it's been either Vallalta and Ingham or Vallalta and Sparks. Vallalta and Ingham was only one time, but that was an example of when we saw some back-to-back. And I think it would have been a Vallalta-Sparks combo again if Sparks didn't get the call-up. It was last minute. It was unplanned, but he gets to go up to L.A. Todd McClellan said that's why they signed him. They need someone who has NHL experience that can go up in an emergency situation like this during COVID and get a win. And you know, I got to watch a good amount of that game against the Capitals, and man, Garrett Sparks looked good. He looked really under control, and it was just a pleasure to see the team play for him. And then, you know, afterwards, and if you haven't watched it, take a look at Garrett Sparks post game, speaking with the media, and he was emotional and he was proud of himself. And not a lot of guys are in a situation where they are in the NHL, they fall off, and they're out of the NHL, and they get back, and they get back and look good. And it's been a good amount of time. This wasn't a few weeks that he had to take off. This was a few years since he had played and won an NHL game. And, you know, I don't know how much you got to watch of it, Josh, but just as someone who has gotten to know Garrett Sparks a little bit over the past couple months, it was just a really treat for me to watch that.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. And when you talk to him, it seems like he can talk about anything. And then he gets up to the podium in that press conference and he starts talking about himself and he starts talking about the game. And what what stands out from that interview after beating the Capitals and stopping a couple of one-timers from the greatest pure goal scorer this game has ever seen in Alex Ovechkin, and getting the win, making some of the saves that he did. And then obviously you see Sean Durzi put the body on the line. He's another Rain guy. And it was just a really impressive third period, not just from him, but from the whole team. And what he said and the way he said it really humanizes what NHL players are, I think. And that's what stood out. And I think that's what stood out to a lot of people who saw this interview with him, with the way that he was speaking about this time last year. I was playing in the ECHL making $600 a week, and all right, like, it is what it is, but he was just enjoying playing hockey, and that's all he could ask for. And a year later, he's getting a taste of real NHL action again. He's back on NHL ice in a whirlwind of a 24 hours with the flight and all that, finally gets a chance to play in the NHL again. And he's playing against Alex Ovechkin, who's been, seems like he's chasing a record every single game at this point. And against obviously one of the best teams in the league this season. So really happy for him. It was an opportunity that kind of, like he had alluded to in that press conference, came out of nowhere. But like you said, Jared, this is why the Kings signed him. And we had talked earlier this season, you know, who's the Kings' number three? Is it Vallalta? Is it Sparks? It seemed like it was Sparks, but, you know, Vallalta's been playing well. And this was the opportunity for him to step into the organization and show why he was brought here. And I think he played tremendously. 33 saves and a big win over one of the hotter teams in the NHL right now. And a really cool moment for him and his family, I'm sure.
And something he said, too, he was on a three-game losing streak, you know, being called up. And some of those games he was good and team didn't score for him or, you know, whatever. It may be a little bit of bad luck on his side. But, you know, specifically the Abbotsford game comes to mind. I thought he was really good in that game. And the Rain defense just wasn't there for him. And that's been rare, I think, mostly, obviously, with the amount of wins this team has. You know, anyone mentioning a three-game losing streak for this team is not very common because they've been so good. But I think it just shows you how small the difference there is in some of these guys when you're talking about NHL, AHL, and then even the ECHL. You know, we just saw a couple guys this weekend that were in the ECHL. And they come up, and obviously a guy like Blake Siebenhaller comes to mind. Not that he hadn't played in the NHL before, just like not that he hadn't played in the AHL before, just like Sparks has played in the NHL. But you never know, can a guy bring it when he gets a call up? And Siebenhaller scores a goal and an assist. He was an impact player for Ontario in his first AHL game this year with the Rain, joining a new locker room. And then Garrett Sparks, and you know, He said what he said about the ECHL, and it definitely sticks with me because I called one of his games last year in the ECHL. I watched him defeat my team that I was working for last year, and that was less than a year ago. That was late January of 2021. So to see and again, last year was kind of a crazy season. There were some teams that didn't play. There were less jobs to be had. And I think, you know, in talking to people that were in Orlando last year, he went there and said, I don't care what league this is. I want to be a pro hockey goalie. I'm going to enjoy playing. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get back. And he always had that belief. And, you know, clearly he went up to Stockton, got a call up. He only played, I think, six or seven games in the ECHL. Because even Orlando, I mean, and that's the situation here sometimes for the Rain, like, last year, Garrett Sparks, the goalie who clearly can play in the NHL, was playing in the ECHL, but he wasn't playing every game because Orlando is affiliated with Tampa Bay and they're developing the Lightning prospects. So he wasn't even in there every night. He was getting starts when they could find starts for him. And that's been the case this year too. I mean, Matthew Vallalta is a developing NHL prospect and Sparks has played in a bunch of games, but you know, Vallalta is still a priority. So it's not like he's out there just getting a shot to play every night and to stick with it. And then to, like you said, you know, go up against Alex Ovechkin. That was just awesome to see. And I think it, for me, you know, if you're a Rain fan and you're going to games and you're watching, it's something that reminds you that, yeah, that it is minor league. It's not the NHL, but man, it is close because you can see on any given night, you can see a guy like Sean Durzi, who started the season playing every game for Ontario, The last three games, he's led the Kings in ice time. And every team has these stories of guys who are playing in the AHL. It clicks and they can be successful and, you know, coming to a rain game. You're going to see that night in and night out.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely are. And I mean, it's the second best league in the world. And a guy like Sparks has kind of seen that action at every level. And, you know, like we had just said, you know, it's less than a year ago, he was playing in the ECHL. When the AHL started back up last year, he got a chance up in Stockton, and who was playing in Calgary at the time. They had relocated north of the border to be close to the Flames. And he was really good there. Record wasn't great, kind of a John Gibson type situation where the record wasn't good, but all the other numbers were very impressive. Had a good year there, but this is all just a year or two removed from playing for the Vegas Golden Knights for a game, playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs and getting some starts in Toronto in the NHL. So that opportunity for him to get all the way back there after, you know, these last, you know, 12 months and beyond for Sparks and had an injury when he was in Toronto and missed some time, and the opportunity to get back in the NHL, really good for him. And, you know, like you had said, you know, you never know what you're going to get at a rain game or at an AHL game. But it's not too far off from the NHL. And we saw that these past couple weeks, not just with Sparks, but with a lot of guys and the movement that you have with a lot of the top prospects in the Kings organization between Ontario and LA.
Well, another one of the guys who is fighting to try to get an opportunity in the NHL, who's had a great pedigree himself, is Marcus Phillips. And Marcus had to play some extra minutes this week as he was counted on a lot heavier. And, you know, we saw some really good development in his game, at least in my time here. I think that the last 2 weeks of Marcus Phillips has been a lot better than the first couple weeks of Marcus. He has really taken on more of a role without some of these other guys. And, you know, then you take Jacob Molvinari and Jordan Spence out of the lineup, who were really playing a lot of minutes. You take Helge Gronz out of the lineup, who was playing a lot of minutes. Not only did Marcus Phillips have to step in, fill a role, and lead, but he also had to play with a forward as his defensive partner, and that was Adam Johnson, who did an outstanding job. I don't think we ever talked once about Adam Johnson being out of place or Adam Johnson making a mistake. He fit in almost too well. I'm wondering, maybe not necessarily. He probably doesn't want to hear that he doesn't want to move there full time. But man, that was a really great job by Adam Johnson. So it was great to be able to catch up with Marcus Phillips a little bit, a guy who played in the World Junior Championships himself. With that tournament on tap, we talked a little World Juniors and heard a little more about this weekend. So here's our conversation with Marcus Phillips. Joined this week on the Rain Check by Rain defenseman Marcus Phillips. Marcus, thanks for hopping on. Excited to talk to you, and I hope your holiday season's going well.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. Happy to be here. So it should be a good time.
Yeah, and you guys, the past couple weeks, we'll just jump right in. Mm-hmm. This past weekend was a very uncertain time for the Rain defense. You guys knew it going in. A couple call ups, a couple guys out, and a couple new players jumping in. I know you were kind of just joking with me at morning skate on Friday morning, like, we don't even know how this is going to go. And, you know, you guys pull off a win in the first game, and obviously you go to overtime. It was anybody's game in game two. What was that like for you over the past couple of days, being on a decor that was so fluid like that?
Yeah, it was good. It allowed me to almost take on a leadership role a little bit, still being, I think I'm still the youngest guy out of everyone there, but allowed me to play a bit more. Thought I took advantage of the added opportunity there, and I got to play with Adam Johnson, a forward, so that was interesting too.
Now I've kind of heard some varying stories, because I wasn't here last year, but some people are telling me that Johnny played a little defense last year. Johnny himself was kind of like, not really, more like just on the power play, I was out there. I mean, what was it like, you know, once you found out you're going to be paired up with him, what were those conversations like, and how much, I mean, he looked pretty comfortable. How was it for you guys on the ice?
Yeah. Last year, I don't think he played at all. I think we played four defensemen a couple of times in San Diego, which was wild. Johnny never really played last season, but we get along pretty well. So it lives downstairs here and we hang out all the time. So we have some good chemistry, and thought we played well together. I didn't really get challenged too much defensively, and I thought that was that was good. We got to control the game and play in the offensive zone for the two games.
Yeah, and for you, even leading up to this weekend, so this kind of goes even back to that, we've seen a little bit more offense in your game. Are you getting a little more comfortable? Is that something you're trying to add a little bit more?
Yeah, I think once I got my confidence back a little bit, just in and out of the lineup to start and getting to play, points aren't there. But yeah, I think I'm producing offensively. I'm creating chances. And I think once I get one, a lot more will come.
Yeah, I think we've noticed that, you know, you've had definitely more opportunities to shoot. You're in deeper than maybe you were a few weeks ago. And, you know, I'm sure with Johnson there, I mean, he's got a lot of skill as well. So when you guys were paired up together, you know, maybe a little bit more opportunity to do that because you guys were making things happen a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. We got out there with TJ and Furkey and Ketchy. So a lot of fun to play with those guys and a lot of offense. So it's better playing in the O zone than D zone for sure.
For sure. And, you know, going back to the game on Friday, I think we asked Cameron Gauntz and he had a great answer after the game. But, you know, Evander Kane's out there and obviously he's dynamic and, you know, you could tell, hey, this guy probably belongs in the NHL. What was that like for you to go up against somebody? Not that you haven't in the past in your career going up against guys like that, but, you know, this season, first time we've seen anybody like that in a little while.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good to put a player to the person you see on TV. It's good to play against them and it's a good challenge for all of us. And I thought we did a good job of minimizing him and limiting his chances.
Well, you obviously were shorthanded. And one of the reasons that the team's, you know, been a little shorthanded on defense is because Sean Durzi is taking an opportunity and run with it up there. I know you're close with Sean. What's it been like for you to see him play like this and get this opportunity and do so well?
Yeah, it's been fun. Durz and I have been with each other since I was 16, he was 17. So we've been through it all. And yeah, I couldn't be more happy for the guy. He got his chance and really taking advantage of it right now.
Yeah, you guys played together, like you said, and Aiden Dudas was there as well. You guys kind of had a little bit of a group there that have been together. What's it like to be in the pros with some people you've known for so long?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's fun seeing Durs and Dudes on a daily basis. Dudes and I skate together in the summer too, so can never get sick of each other. But it's a good time. Yeah, so we see each other maybe three times a week in the summer. We'll golf together and then go practice and then every day now. So it's a lot of fun.
Is he same every day? You know, like he's such a vibrant personality. Like, is that who you get every single day all the time?
Oh, every day since he was 16, he walked in the dressing room like he was a veteran. So it's pretty funny. And it does the same thing here.
That's awesome. I mean, you guys overall, I mean, you guys have to be such a close team. It's looking at so many guys that have now been in this group as prospects coming up together. You've played now for a few years together. I mean, does that feel that way in the room? Obviously there's some newer guys that come in and out, but the core group seems like it's a really close group.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like we've known each other since the development camps and the rookie camps back in the day. And a lot of Ontario guys. So we see each other in the summer and stuff. And then we even got a good Call of Duty crew. We play even away from the rink. So we're always hanging out or we'll go grab dinner. Me, Turk, and Spenny like to do that. So it's good. And yeah, we're all best friends and so much fun coming to the rink every day.
Well, you mentioned those guys. We had Turk on a few weeks ago. I don't know if you heard about that at all, but he was definitely giving us some insight into Spenny's gaming habits. And he was complimentary. He was saying that Spenny is actually really, really good. I don't know if you feel the same
way. Yeah, he's the best of our crew. Probably goes Spenny, then I'm going to say me. I'm just throwing it out there. Then probably Turk, QB's up there. It's a lot of fun. So, we like to do that in our free time.
Yeah, and, you know, we were talking – yeah, when we talked the other day, he was saying, you know, there's a little bit of trash talking going on as well. What's that dynamic like, knowing that you know each other so well and then maybe you're playing against somebody else who doesn't know – you guys are that close? And
when we're playing, like Turk and I are just talking, we're having a good time, and Spenny's so serious he doesn't talk at all while we're actually in the game. So yeah, he takes it pretty serious. And yeah, I mean, it works, but doesn't have too much fun on there.
Is that the only game you guys go with, Call of Duty? Is that what it is right now?
Yeah, I'll play Call of Duty with them, and then I'll play some FIFA with Mo, and then maybe NHL with Artie Kaliev and QB. So I kind of mix it up.
There you go. I know one of the other things in the room, pretty popular to talk about football. You guys are really into the NFL. And, you know, it's, I don't know if you guys have a fantasy league that you're all in together, if you have different leagues, but it seems like that's one of those things where, you know, most likely get off the ice, guys are checking their phone and they're talking about who's in, who's out, who's in the lineup and what's the play.
Yeah, we love our sports. Yeah, we like the NFL is always fun and it's good this week. There's games on almost every day. So lots to talk about. And it's something we all have in common. So that's why we all have our individual fantasy teams. But a lot of us will have the same players or we're chirping the other guy because one's doing better than someone else. So it's a lot of fun. And yeah, I like to chirp and get in each other's ears for sure.
So nobody's in the same league together, even though you guys have.
We'll do like nightly. So like, say there's one game on. We'll do like you pick your own team within the game, and then that sort of thing. So when we're on with Sunday practice day or something, we're all sitting on the couch and cheering for our own guys, and it gets pretty heated.
I love it. Yeah, it's definitely fun for me too because I'm into it. So come into the room and. You know, I might be getting some tidbits I didn't even know. So it actually gives me some extra insight in my league as well.
Yeah, half the time I'm just getting chirping guys, trying to get them going. So, yeah, I'm that guy.
Well, another topic that you guys are chirping a lot about is the World Juniors because there's so many guys in the room. It's like half of the room played in the World Juniors. What is that like? And again, it seems like something that everybody has in common and you stay in touch with the guys you played with and probably are watching pretty closely of who Canada is going to have out there this year.
Yeah, 100%. Like I'm a big hockey guy and I'll watch it in my free time and kind of hockey DB kind of. So I know all the guys playing this year. And unfortunately we lost to Rasmus when I played in the quarterfinals. So I never hear the end of it from him. He still talks about it whenever I see him. So, yeah, we lost in the overtime to Finland. But, yeah, you always hear either Turks bragging about his gold medal or dudes in Akil bragging about theirs. And then I'm just sitting there and enjoying that we lost in the quarters. But, no, it was fun. And I still talk to all the guys. And, yeah, a lot like me and Nick Suzuki played Owenstown, Guelph, played World Juniors together. So, yeah, we have a tight knit crew and, yeah, I still talk to this day with a lot of them.
Yeah. And so for you, obviously it was special when you watch it now, obviously it brings back memories. What are some of those memories? And yeah, it didn't end the way you wanted, but I'm sure there was a lot of positive things that happened when you got to go.
Yeah. It was awesome playing in front of 20,000 people in Vancouver and all wearing the red and white. And luckily it was on home soil. So couldn't have asked for a better tournament and sold out crowd. And yeah, it's something I can always look back on and one of the best memories I've had in my hockey career so far.
Anybody else you stay in touch with from that team specifically that, you know, you guys became friends, whether that you were friends before that or during the tournament?
Yeah, I'd say like Mackenzie Entwistle, Nick Suzuki, Evan Bouchard. I could go on and on, but we still have a group chat that will send some snaps in and all that. So yeah, we're tight knit and see a lot of them in the summer too. So it's always a good time.
When we're recording this, World Juniors hasn't started yet. It is less than a week away from opening, but take us into when you were there, you guys all come from different teams. You, again, probably knew some of the guys going into it, but what's it like to try to become a team in such a short amount of time? You have a couple practices, maybe a couple pre-tournament games. What are some of these teams going through? I mean, Helge Granz right now, he's with Team Sweden. Yeah. What is he maybe trying to do to get used to those guys and learn the tendencies and systems as soon as possible?
Yeah, absolutely. So at least for Canada, we all knew each other from under 17s, under 18s, and playing against one another all the time. So luckily we knew, I knew a lot of the Western League guys and the Quebec League guys, and Hockey Canada does such a good job of team building. And we went to a Canadian Navy base and we did a couple days there with the Navy and some cool team building things. And we're always with each other in the hotels. So get to know each other pretty quick. And it was a great time and can't say anything but that.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds, I mean, I just would consider it to be a little bit chaotic, but I'm sure everyone's so excited and they're so pumped to be on the team. They're so excited to, like you said, it was on home soil. Yeah. Did that make it even better that, you know, I'm sure you had friends and family that were there, not just watching on TV?
No, 100%. And in Canada, it's almost a national holiday on Boxing Day. Everyone sits around the TV and watches that, and I'm watching it since I was five. So all my buddies were watching, or whether they're there, my parents came out, and yeah, it was great. And finally, being able to play in that was awesome after watching it on TV for so long.
Well, this year you're obviously rooting for your home country, but now you get to watch Helgi. I'm sure that'll be pretty cool to see him, and maybe a little conflicting emotion when they play some of the Canadian teams.
Yeah, I think I was talking to him right before I left, and I called him on my drive to Ontario. We were just, because he was in quarantine, so I wanted to talk to him quickly, and I just said, like, good luck. But I think they play Canada in their first pre-tournament game, so I'm like, good luck, but I'm still cheering for Canada. So he's gonna do great, but I'm still gonna cheer for the red and white.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I was talking with Jacob Moverari Mo the other day, and and you know, even just hearing his memories about it, and you know how proud he is that Helge is there, and there he's gonna be rooting for Team Sweden, and then Turks came around the corner and was like, "Go USA!" and
yeah, yelling. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, as we wrap things up here, just figured I'd get a check in. You know, after the World Juniors, you guys have a little bit of a break here for holiday, and then you know this team has been very fun to watch. I was up in the press box before our last game, and there's some off-ice officials who have been around Ontario for a long time, and they said this has been their most fun team to watch. They, regardless of the result, just the talent level on the group has been just so exciting every single night. And I think a lot of Rain fans have picked up on, hey, they've had success in Ontario before, but it's never necessarily been this kind of collection of guys. Do you guys feel that it is a special thing when you guys are out there together?
Yeah, absolutely. And you see it in practice, like, all our forward crew is unbelievable. You got the guy who probably has the best shot in the world up there, TJ Tynan, who could be a third line center in the NHL. And you just go up and down the lineup, two top five picks, second round picks, left, right, and center. And our veteran crew is just unbelievable what they do for us, and leading on and off the ice, and Dotes. And yeah, I could just go on and on. It's so much fun. And I think what we do off the ice too, and how we hang out with each other at the rink and have a good time, I think that carries on to our on ice and our chemistry. And yeah, I'm looking forward to a fun second half here as well.
Did you guys get a chance to watch yesterday at all? I know it was a day off, but Garrett Sparks getting the nod. Was everyone following that, paying attention to him in there?
Yeah, I was at Spider-Man, but I shot him a text before the game. I just wanted to wish him luck, and just knowing what he's been through and in the years prior and his journey. And obviously I was a big Leaf fan growing up. So I always watched him and with the Marlies and the Leafs, and yeah, he's had one heck of a journey, and yeah, he's a great guy and well-deserved.
Yeah. Your stall's pretty close to him in the, at least in the practice locker room.
Yeah. I'll hang out with him. Actually I sit beside him in the Rain room too.
Yeah.
In Ontario, so I can't get enough of him. I hang out with him, go for dinner and all the time, and I'm at his place, and yeah, he's one of my best buddies, so it was good to see that from him.
Absolutely. Well, Marcus, we appreciate all the time. We wish you luck. We hope you have a great holiday and a couple days that you can clear your head and then get going here in the second half. It should be a good time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jared.
Thanks again to Marcus for joining us here on the Rain Check. Back with Josh Schaefer. And Josh, the World Junior Championships just days away at this point. We've talked a little bit about it. You know, it's obviously going to be a fun little while watching some of that. And Marcus is clearly going to be paying attention. We know that for sure, as he knows a lot of the guys everywhere. He's just kind of a hockey nut watching all this stuff. But the Kings themselves have six prospects that are going to be playing in the World Juniors. Just one of them have played for the Rain. So we're kind of straying a little bit off the Rain vibe here on the Rain Check. But in addition to Helge Granz, a few other guys, and it's going to be a really fun watch. I hope everybody has NHL Network ready to go.
Technically, there are two players who have played for the Rain. One of them being obviously Helge Grons, the other being Martin Kromiak, but not a full season under his belt. Not a full season for Helge as well, but Helge is actually an active AHL player. But we did see Kromiak for a game or two last year. And I think Martin Kromiak is going to be a fun one to watch. He was a guy that I don't think got drafted as high as he would have liked to have been drafted. And I don't think he got drafted as high as a lot of people expected him to be drafted. So I have seen some things these last couple years after his draft year where people have called or people have said that he might be one of the more underrated players coming out of where he was picked, having been a former fifth round selection by the Kings. And he was really good at the rookie faceoff tournament. And I'm looking forward to watching him play with Slovakia this year. He's probably Slovakia's best forward coming into this year's World Juniors. So excited to watch him. And there's a few other guys that really jump out. I'm a big college hockey guy, as I know that you are as well. You were at Northeastern. I was at the Blue Blood College Hockey program that is Arizona State. And we saw Brock Faber a couple times. So excited to see Brock Faber playing for the U.S.
Yeah, if you're a U.S. fan and you're just looking to root for U.S. and you don't care about the Kings prospects, well, Brock Faber's your guy because he can be a Kings prospect and a member of Team USA. And, you know, as we were talking with Marcus, who went through, he mentioned going up against Rasmus Kupari, who is now a King, but was playing for Finland. A couple guys playing for Finland this year that are LA prospects as well. And we mentioned Helge Grons, who is going to be playing for Team Sweden. The Rain have three other players on their team that played for Team Sweden that are current Rain players. Elias Andersson also played for Sweden, and he's with the Kings, but another former Rain guy in Elias Andersson. But Jacob Movarari, Samuel Fagimo, and Johan Södergren all played for Team Sweden. The list of players is long who have been in the World Juniors and have also played for the Rain. How could we forget a guy like Akil Thomas scored a game-winning gold medal goal? Quentin Byfield, clearly another guy who had a great time with Team Canada there for two of these tournaments. And then another guy with two of these tournaments, Alex Turcotte, got a gold medal last year with Brock Faber in the U.S.
And he scored a big goal, which eventually went on to be that big gold medal winning goal, Alex Turcotte. And the USA was well represented. Canada was well represented over the last couple of years by Kings prospects and Rain players. Arthur Kaliev was also on those teams, who we haven't seen with the Rain this year, but has been playing well with the LA Kings. But he was a two-time Team USA participant. So a lot of former Rain guys. It's something that jumps out when you kind of go up and down the list and you're looking at a roster and you've got so many of these prospects that have kind of come into the organization these last couple years. And you get that, you know, your AHL teams are a mix of prospects and then a few veterans. And then sometimes you have placeholders, which is just kind of the way that it goes in the AHL. But the way that the Rain are built recently has been overloaded with prospects. And then you add in guys like Cameron Gaunce, Brett Sutter, Jacob Doty, that kind of, you know, mold all of these younger players. So when you've got all these prospects and you're looking down a roster and you're like, he was at the World Juniors, and you start pointing them all out. But then beyond that, you've got guys that really stood out at the World Juniors, you know, Quentin Byfield being Quentin Byfield, but Akil Thomas scoring that big goal, Alex Turcotte and Arthur Kaliev, the way that they, you know, combined for goals on that USA team that also included the likes of Trevor Zegras, who's been good this year for the Anaheim Ducks. And then obviously within these last couple of years, not just with the Rain, but with the Kings too, starting to see more and more really talented European players, specifically from Sweden, in the Kings ranks. And to see a couple of former Rain guys playing or having played for Team Sweden, now Helge Grons playing for him this year, it's just kind of, you know, backing up that point of, you know, kind of getting more of a Swedish pipeline maybe with the Kings. And you're going to get Helge Grons playing for Sweden again this year.
Couple more notes on the World Juniors, by the way. The two Rain assistant coaches also both played for Team USA in Chris Height and Craig Johnson, both of them with some World Junior experience, and someone else who kind of played at the World Juniors, didn't get into a game, but was there for a gold medal win, was actually Garrett Sparks. We obviously referenced earlier, he was the emergency backup goaltender for the U.S. when they won gold in 2013. If you do a little Googling around, you can find his vlog from the tournament, which is definitely fun. It wasn't that long, kind of a quick watch, but it was fun knowing him now. He looks so young. It's unbelievable how young he looks back in 2013, but pretty cool to see Sparksy and kind of click around there. So if you're really bored, you can do that. But, you know, this is our last episode before the rain going holiday break.
Ramping up into the new year. We were talking with a fellow AHL Pacific Division broadcaster a couple weeks ago. And he had said, you know what, my first year in the AHL, but my experience in doing pro hockey and being in pro hockey is that after Thanksgiving and then after the December holidays, the season starts to really speed up. So we're getting to that point where things are going to really start to ramp up here, and looking forward to seeing what we get down the stretch.
Absolutely. And once again, we thank all of our listeners who have been tuning in and listening. And if you would like to hear anything, if you'd like to hear anyone, definitely feel free to reach out to either of us and suggest a guest, suggest a topic. If you got a question, feel free to send it over, and we are happy to feature that on the podcast. It's been a great ending here to 2021. Looking forward to the 2022 portion of the season. And Josh, have a great holiday. We will talk to you on the air very, very soon. And we wish everybody a great holiday season here over the next couple of weeks.
Thank you, and safe travels to you as well. You're out of town at the moment too, so safe travels, and we'll all link back up again for a rain game soon.